Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Mrs. Marjorie Dong on February the 26th, 1983, tape 4. Did you get together very often with American women's?
Most of my association are with the Caucasians because we have similar interests. Mm-hmm. We would take trips together, and we had the church, we have personal interests, you know. And I, Mrs. Ozenich, she said, very interested in art, that type of thing. And we would travel together sometimes to go to art shows. And we even came to Los Angeles one time, seeing things, you know. And my Caucasian friends and I are very compatible.
Mm-hmm. What did your husband think about you getting involved with
activities? He was interested in church activities, and he believed in it. So,
whatever you did, never questioned about?
No, he never said I couldn't do it, you know, but we always have things in common, you know that.
Mm-hmm. So your children would go to the church?
Yes.
From the very young age?
Uh-huh, yeah. They had religious teaching. Mm-hmm. And when my older boy was in the fifth grade in Bakersfield, they had the time released religious teaching. Mm-hmm. So he went to that too. You know, I think it's good for children to have exposed to religious training. At least they are.
Also, we were talking about the Chinese school in Bakersfield. Can you tell us about that?
No, I can't, because this was much earlier in the 90s,
1912.
But after the war, we had a teacher. I think she came from Taiwan. She speaks Cantonese and Mandarin. And she was engaged to teach Chinese school. And she was very anxious for the children to learn Mandarin. And these children even don't talk their own dialects at home. Here she thrust upon them Mandarin. It was just too much.
Uh-huh.
And so some of the kids just drop out because they failure, you know, they have the complex that I'm a failure. So I don't know anymore about the Chinese church, but I think it has a good enrollment.
Uh-huh.
I think most Chinese children do go to Chinese school for 2 hours, I think, in the evening from 6 to 8.
I see. Uh-huh. This is the picture of Bakersfield Chinese school in 1912. I assume it's your husband's contemporary.
Yes, this is he. Let me see what you see.
Mr. Howard Dunn?
Yeah, Howard. And this is his brother.
Howard Dunn is the second row.
This one.
Second from the second. Left. From the left, yeah. Second from the left.
And this is his brother, Edwin.
It's the second from the right on the second row.
I know him. I think his name is Ming.
From the Ming family, or,
Ming family. Yes,
that's the first from the left and the on the second row.
But I was told who they were, all these people. But I don't
recall.
I didn't know they have this flag. Then I thought it was supposed to be the five stripes.
Oh yeah, that was the. First year of the Republic of China. That's the first year they used the flag.
Oh, it is that.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought they changed.
Yes, they changed from the five color flags. But in 1912, because the revolution succeed, so they changed to these Republic of China's flag. Yeah. So do you remember the girls here?
I know, I can't.
Any of the Ming family members?
Some of these must be his sisters. I'm not sure.
I see. So I assume the one on the...
That's teacher.
Teacher.
I don't know what his name is.
So it's like 12 students plus teacher. It's
Well, maybe that's the whole school. Right?
Yes.
Yes. See, so young. And he's young, and he's older.
Right. And different age.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Did you send your children to Chinese school?
Well, my older boy went to Chinese school. I just made him sick.
It was this
It was
Mandarin
too much Mandarin. But he even didn't speak Cantonese, you know, because we never insisted that he learn Chinese. We felt it's more important that he mastered the English language, because he got to make a living in this country. But now it's different if you learn another language. It's convenient when you go abroad.
Yes.
If you work elsewhere.
Did you and your husband speak the same dialect?
No, he speaks his village. So that's why we never speak Chinese.
At home.
But I think we could communicate better if we just speak English to get across.
Did you ever meet his father?
No.
Married?
Oh. He, let me see this house. He wanted to go back to China. I think after his wife died. He died when she was very young. So he went back to China. His older boy, Edwin, accompany him to China, to the village, and he took sick. He got blood poisoning, and he died very quickly. So
in China.
And then he came back. He brought his bride back with him. And so I never get to meet him, see. That was in 1920.
Oh, I see. How much older is
the two brothers?
Yeah, right.
It's just by a year apart, by 14 months.
I see. So at that time, Edwin was old enough to get a wife from China.
Yes, I think he was 20 or 21.
And then he came back to continue his father's farm business.
No, He came to Los Angeles and worked here.
Edwin? Oh, where did he work?
I don't know.
And then he...
See, in those days, very few occupations open to Chinese people. Probably he was in the produce world.
I see. But you didn't know when he went back to Bakersfield either, right?
No, he never did go back to Bakersfield.
Oh, Edwin never?
No.
Oh, the one that in Bakersfield was...
Was a younger brother.
Oh,
he never did
name?
Leave Bakersfield. I mean, he left there for a short time, but I don't remember. He has passed away now.
Oh,
so
what's his name?
Ernest.
Oh, Ernest Dong. So all the brothers were in different places?
Yeah.
California mainly, or did they go farther?
Of course, Edwin was the oldest, and so he accompanied his father back to China.
Did your husband ever go to Chinese? Oh, wow, that's the picture. He did go to Chinese school, so did he read and write?
He could write pretty good. I think those the teacher really did a good job. He could write, and I don't think he can compose, but he can write Chinese words, but he can speak.
Did he write to China?
No.
Letters sent to China?
No.
Yeah, talking about your marriage, at that time when you got married, was your adopted mother still in China, or she...
In China.
Did you notify her that you are getting married?
Yes.
Did she come back to America to attend your wedding?
Oh, no. In those days, such an expense to travel, you know, air, you know.
She must be pretty happy to hear.
Well, I don't know. You know.
Did you communicate with her?
Yeah.
How often did you communicate with her? I mean,
I wrote. Once a month, maybe once every 2 months. Not as often as I should have.
And she wrote to you?
Yes.
Did you keep those letters for
them? I kept them for a long time, then I destroyed them.
Too many things.
Huh? Yes. Yeah. Cluttered up your closet.
I do collect all these.
I'm not a sentimental person.
Well, you collect quite a lot of stuff.
I didn't collect these. There's a Miss Bus collection.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I see. So, how about, I'm sort of switching back and forth. You mentioned last time about the odd jobs that you did, you know, during Depression time. You worked for the International Institute, you worked for the gift shop. What other job did you do? Do you remember? Oh, that's about it. So when you get married, you sort of make your own decision, right? You didn't even have to ask anybody.
There wasn't that much decision to make. It's not earth-shaking things.
So you just decide to get married, and then you marry, and
That's it.
Last time you mentioned about that, you know, because in those days there were no women's liberation things, and so women got married, they just stay put, they stay in the family. And how did you feel about that? You know, it's just the natural things?
Well, I think so. There's no other thoughts into my mind since I had a family. I thought my responsibility was, you know, to the family at home. And I was active doing things. And so.
It was a very happy life.
Oh, contented, you might say. So, lived through hard times.
Yes.
So.
What? How do you think about the women's liberation today? Or have you Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, liberated from what? I think women are liberated into one thing. They put themselves in a tight spot in something else. Which is better? You want to be liberated from the home, and then you get into the office and you slave for 8 hours every day. See, it all depends what her priority is and what she really wants to do. If she feels rewarding, well, I guess it's up to her. But I think you have to make sacrifices.
Either way.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It depends what your priority is and what you really want.
Uh-huh. But the women today have more choices.
Choices too, yes.
In the early days, they might have conflict if women decide to.
Well, there were no, the field was so limited to women. What could they do? Perhaps just go to the office, be bookkeeper and secretary, be a nurse, a teacher. That's it, Ibagada. Show business, you know. For you know how to sing, how to dance. Then.
You said that there no job available for you at that hard time, depression time. Was that because no job in social work in general for everybody, or was it because that you first were women and also?
I don't think social workers, social service did accept women.
Mm-hmm.
But the need wasn't so great.
Mm-hmm.
So the office have the choice to select more selective.
Mm-hmm.
To them, to the department's advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they have people who were much more qualified than others, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people who had experience and who knew the conditions better, who are better trained. So.
Did you ever try to apply for any sort of job opening and they get no response?
After I became a citizen, I took an examination for social service in Bakersfield. And I was out of school and out of touch with the social service program for so long and never had the chance to keep up. And there were no means for you to keep up with your profession, so to speak, or with my interest. So I didn't pass the exam, see, so I didn't.
But only the citizen.
Yeah, you have to be citizen at that time.
So like before you didn't have a chance to do
that. Before then. See, during the war years, they were so short of workers, even to do factory work. You had to be citizens, you see. So I applied for anything, you know, but they said, well, you're not a citizen, you're not qualified.
I see. When did you apply for citizenship? Was it during the war?
I don't remember. I think I became citizen in 53 or 54 or 55.
Because your husband was already
citizen. No. When Roosevelt was in office, he annulled that law that what it was before, see, we were not qualified to become naturalized. So after he made change in the law, so we could become naturalized citizens. So it was many years, or a few years, I should say, that I applied to become citizen.
So did your husband also apply for this?
Well, he was a natural born, see.
Uh-huh.
He was born in this country, so he didn't. He's a natural citizen, native.
He was already native born.
Right, he's native born.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So he had no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all those years when you applied for job, the reason you couldn't get a job mm-hmm. was always because you were not citizen.
Mm-hmm. See, I applied for the job that required citizenship. But there were other jobs I was not qualified because I didn't have the training for. I wasn't a bookkeeper. I couldn't type to be office girl. What else was there for girls to
uh-huh,
do?
Uh-huh, so. I see. Uh-huh. So yeah. After you went to Fresno for these teaching credentials, did you actually went into teaching business?
Hey, I had a hard time getting on because Kern County, we're not used to seeing oriental teaching in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. So you did not have chance?
They were very critical of everything I did. I did get a job in the Bakersfield City.
Mm-hmm.
They were very critical. They were watching me every moment. Being a new teacher in the classroom,
mm-hmm.
teaching second grade. So after my first year, they told me I should have more training. See, that's one way to get you out. See. More experience, I guess, is what they said. So I came down here and I applied, I got a job, and I stayed with it until I retired.
What did you do down here in LA?
I taught for Norwalk, La Mirada School District.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. So you taught in second grade.
Uh-huh. Public school.
So. Uh-huh. So were you also the only Oriental teacher then here in Norwalk?
No, I don't think I was. That's just the beginning of hiring Oriental teachers.
Mm-hmm. Was that 1958?
Yes, 57. So I wasn't the first, but I was among the first, let me say.
Mm-hmm. And those were the younger?
Yeah, younger teachers just got out of universities, so they had better chance. But at that time, the school population was booming, so that the school recruiters had to go to Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
go east, go west, go everywhere to recruit teachers. So I guess they were short on teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why I got on, but anyway, the reason I really enjoy my experiences.
Did you choose Norwalk because of you moved to here? Opening that you moved to Norwalk?
I heard of Norwalk, the city of Norwalk. It's not too far from Los Angeles, so I just came here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was being interviewed, and so I was hired.
How about your husband at that time?
He was still up Bakersfield. So, he wasn't too well, and so we decided that he should change
mm-hmm.
occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And by nature, he's an artist. But he never had a chance to develop that talent.
Mm-hmm.
So when we moved down here, he went to L.A. Technical College,
uh-huh.
took up technical illustration.
Uh-huh.
So he was hired by Lockheed. So he worked there until he got sick, you know.
So you came here to teach. Did you just you purchased the house right away, or are you?
We bought it in 58.
Uh-huh. That's not. That's pretty soon after
uh-huh.
you
uh-huh.
got your
yes,
job.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't have time to look for the house
mm-hmm.
before I started teaching.
Uh-huh.
So while I was teaching, I was living. With an elderly lady, so then I had a chance to go around and look and inquire
mm-hmm.
about properties. And mm-hmm. at that time there was a real estate slump.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little bit of a sign on the lawn here, so mm-hmm. we went to see an agent and we thought it was reasonable and that I can afford.
Mm-hmm.
So.
At that time, your children all grown up, or?
See, my older boy was 7.5 years older than the younger boy.
Mm-hmm.
And the older boy was in Berkeley, UC.
Oh, so. I see.
And the younger boy was going to high school.
Mm-hmm.
So the older boy was already left home, you might say.
Mm-hmm. And the second boy stayed
so
with you?
So it just started with high school.
So did he?
Here.
Oh, he came with you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do you have daughters?
No.
Oh, you have two sons?
Just, yeah,
oh.
Two boys.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And your husband came to Los Angeles around also 1958 then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So at that time, were you very happy that you got the job finally where you can teach?
Well, I think so,
mm-hmm.
because I was wanting, you know, to teach. So I think if you get what you want, regardless what it is,
mm-hmm.
you feel happy and satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even though you were about, at that time you were already 50?
Not quite
50 mm-hmm. years old. You were...
Yeah.
So
40 something.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So like in Bakersfield, you say you have a difficult time teaching
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Can you sort of talk a little bit more on that? I know it's not very...
Oh, I don't know. Sure.
You get the job, you apply for the job.
I taught for a year.
Uh-huh. And then you got the job,
mm-hmm.
they interview you.
Uh-huh.
How did they decide to give you the job? Because they are also desperate for the teacher?
I don't know.
If they didn't like the Oriental teacher.
I don't know what the problem was, but anyway, I had, you know, inquired to do substitute teaching.
Uh-huh.
But they all had their reason, you know, for not taking you, so I decided, well, there are more schools in Los Angeles, so I just go down there. Bakersfield, Kern County is a very closed area
uh-huh.
to
accepting.
Accepting racial people with different racial background.
Mm-hmm. You said that you taught a year.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, you know, while you were teaching, how did the children and how did the parents react to?
Oh, they gave me no problem. It's an administrator, it's the principal. So. Mm-hmm.
I see. How about the colleagues? The colleagues, the other teachers that...
my colleagues. No, they have no feelings one way, you know.
So just the principal one?
Just administrators.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Uh-huh. So actually while you were teaching it was not really that much of a problem,
uh-huh.
It's just the administrator.
Yeah. Well, being a new teacher, a new experience, but I always feel perhaps if you believe all things work together quite good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, I would be still up in that country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Bakersfield is a good area in which to live, small community.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's weather-wise, it's better down here.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it was a good thing that I didn't stay, the reason that I didn't stay.
So how many years did you teach down here in Norwalk until you
I think it's about 14 years.
14 years?
Uh-huh. 14.
How did you feel about the teaching career?
Oh, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And get to learn a lot what you learn in the school, in the classroom, is entirely different when you're on your own. You have the children, you know, that you had to work with. It's entirely different. Of course, they said practice teaching. I had practiced teaching up in Fresno during my summer session, but the group was very small. It's not a classroom situation. It's like tutoring when you're in summer school. But when you have 40 kids under your supervision, you know, it's something different. Sometimes, I think one time I have 42 kids. Oh.
Yeah, so would you consider that was like one of your dreams come true, that you can finally teach?
Yeah, I think so. I think all teachers feel that way at first, anyway. Mm-hmm. You go to school with the idea and hopes that you want to achieve that end. So you got it, so I think all of us, except some people, maybe they'd rather do something else. They couldn't get into, you know, other fields, so they go into teaching. Anyway, you know, it's all your personal preference and your feelings.
All in all, like in your career, were you pretty satisfied with the, you know, of course the beginning was a hardship that you couldn't find a job, but you get some job. Mm-hmm. And later you stopped for bring up the children, you did not work, and then later you had a chance to get back to work. Was all in all, you, how
yeah,
do you
I
feel
think
about that?
Very satisfied. Mm-hmm. And I think I could never have this chance if I had